Welcome back to the podcast, Growth and Jams fans. Today I'm joined by my good friend Monica Arguello to discuss the highly anticipated release of Man on the Moon 3, The Chosen One by Kid Cudi. We discuss high-level themes present within the album, we discuss Kid Cudi's personal growth, and we do a track-by-track dissection of the songs within the album. I hope you enjoy the show today. Back to the podcast, Monica. It's always great to have you on. We're here today to talk strictly about music. I guess a little bit of growth because Kid Cudi is a man that has grown a lot over the years. And we're here to celebrate his long-awaited Man on the Moon 3 project. So yeah, if you're all here for growth, may want to just turn it off now because we're going to be talking a lot about music and it may bore you. But again, welcome, Monica. What did you think about the album at a high level?
Thanks for having me again, my guy. It was really, really good. I expected not the best, given, you know, the complex article that we're going to talk about later on about how it was made in 2 weeks. I was expecting, like, not exactly a Speed and Bullet to Heaven 2, but something similar, something close.
Yeah.
But no, it totally blew me away.
Yeah, definitely. I'm on the same boat right there. I'm going to make the bold claim after it coming out on Thursday night. It's now Sunday, and I'm going to say it's my album of the year. And we can talk a little bit about that as we go on. But for me, it was huge because I'm obviously a really huge Kid Cudi fan. I'll always put him in my top three, probably top five favorite artists of all time. Not just clinging to like what he was as an artist in like, you know, the 2000s up until like 2010, when he had a pretty big shift in like his sound and what he went through in life. But in general, it was just a huge album for me personally. And it took me back to those middle school days where, you know, you're in your room alone and you have your headphones in and life seems hard and you're just listening to Kid Cudi. And that's really what this did for me. So yeah, bold claim, but it's my album of the year. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. But yeah, to get back to your point about the Complex article, Kid Cudi talked Complex and he said that this album was heavily influenced by Travis. Travis Scott said that Kid Cudi, you're like one of my greatest inspirations. Obviously, like his name comes from Kid Cudi. And he basically told Kid Cudi that my favorite thing that you do is when you rap. So Kid Cudi took that and he said, okay, what the people want is they want to hear me rap again like I used to do. And he rebranded what was going to be, I think, Intergalactic was supposed to be his next album. Right. And then all of a sudden he announced that he was going to release Man on the Moon 3. And then all of a sudden he released it like 2 weeks later, which is pretty crazy to me. So he talked about essentially recording and finishing and doing all this in 2 weeks, which to your point, we both were like, what? Like,
yeah.
Like we've waited 10 years for this project and you made it in 2 weeks. That was a little upsetting to me. But again, I went into it with an open mind and I think for it being done in 2 weeks, it doesn't sound like it was. And it sounds like this is something that he's been working at and working on probably over the last decade and just laid it down probably in the last 2 weeks or whatever it was for him.
He for sure had to have been sitting on at least some of these songs. Cause I mean, you have like features with Pop Smoke and obviously, you know, that couldn't have been done in 2 weeks. So
yeah, I agree. I think it's something that he had probably been thinking about, writing about, cultivating and thinking about the sound for a long time. Mm-hmm. Something that at a high level that I think he did a great job of was keeping the same, I wouldn't say like vibe or energy as Man on the Moon 1 and 2, but continuing to expand on that and grow from those starting points. So he did that like at the very first, the intro song, he starts with the same intro that he did on Man on the Moon 2, and mm-hmm. it gave me the chills. It was beautiful. But like he took those same principles that he was so successful with, which was, I think Arthur said this on an earlier episode when he was on, was that what drew people to Kid Cudi so much is that he rapped and talked about things that applied to everyone. So like, I think he brings a level of emotion and mental health into hip hop that 99% of artists do not do. And he did a great job of continuing to do that with this album, talking about his own personal growth and expanding on the sound that he had, you know, kind of cultivated in those first two projects. So this was it was in all a great sequel. And I look forward to the teaser that he put at the end of the album of it being continued with Man on the Moon 4.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I think it's a great place to jump into, I guess, each individual track, if there's nothing else that we can talk about high level right now.
I mean, the only thing I had to note was that, he's a pioneer within the rap and hip hop community, because like you said, without him, there would be no Travis Scott. And I don't even want to picture a world without that. Yeah. But he talks about his mental health very openly, and it's not seen in a lot of the rappers that we have today, because I mean, all they rap about is drugs and money and, you know,
cars,
all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I feel like maybe this album, this project will bring more rappers into the community that feel like they have a voice now, that, you know, Kid Cudi's overcome his mental illness, or like that dark place that he was in before when he made Speed and Bullet to Heaven. Maybe now they feel like he's in a better place now. He's able to be vocal about these things. Maybe I can do the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Something to touch on as well is, I think in 2016, when we were at the St. Pablo tour, Kanye West said that Kid Cudi was the most influential artist of, like, either said his lifetime or this decade. And I thought that was huge to think about, because I know that there was like kind of a falling out between the two of them at some point in time. And Kid Cudi was ostracized from a vast majority of hip hop for a very long time for his addiction issues, his substance abuse issues, as well as just mental health in general, kind of self-isolating himself from the hip hop community. And he kind of showed us why he was and is as influential as he was and still is with this project again.
Mm-hmm.
So with that influential note, like, without him, there would be no Travis Scott, and there would be no 808s and Heartbreaks. There would not be a lot of projects if it weren't for Kid Cudi and the influence that he's had on the industry. So without further ado, before we jump directly into dissecting each song, I want to just give my top songs off the album. You can do the same as well. Mine, in no particular order, I think, well, I guess in a particular order, would be, in a vague order, would be September 16th and Lord I Know are like my top two on there, followed shortly by She Knows This and Mr. Solo Dolo 3, as well as Heaven on Earth, Sad People, The Void, and Dive. And I think that's 5 or 6 songs out of like 18. But those are really, really good. I like them a lot. And we'll get into those a little bit more when we go through the album itself. What about you?
Yeah, mine would have to be probably She Knows This, because those beat switch ups, man, we'll get into it. Dive, Show Out, The Void, Lovin' Me, Rockstar Nights, and I like Lord I Know. Yeah. But all the features and everything, I just, chef's kiss.
It really was. It was beautiful. What I really liked about it too is I went through and looked at the full production credits, and he, of course, assembled his army of, you know, the producers that kind of monopolized his sound and created his sound for him, which was Plain Pat, The Dot Genius, and Mike Dean. Like, Mike Dean was huge in this album, and it was, man, it was beautiful. Again, chef's kiss, but like, we'll get into each song where he's like really present. But those producers, as well as including new ones like Wonder Girl, Phineas, it was beautiful. They did a great job of continuing the sound that he had created 10 years ago and expanding upon it to fit the current sound and the current ideas that he had. So to jump into it, the first song, Beautiful Trip. As I said earlier, he starts with capturing the spirit of Man on the Moon 2 by using the same little intro sound as he did on Man on the Moon 2. I'm not even going to attempt to make it with my mouth, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
If you've listened to the album, I'm not going to do it. But it was a great way to start it, because it just gave you the same feel that he's picking up where he left off 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
and then the transition into Tequila Shots. That song wasn't mind-blowing for me.
Yeah.
But one thing that really stood out to me with this album lyrics-wise is that he has an incredible relationship with his faith that I don't think I've ever seen in any of his other projects.
Yeah.
He talks about and references God and then makes the contrast between heaven and hell, light and dark, you know, sin and salvation and the Lord himself and the devil throughout mm-hmm. the entire project. Like, that's like a really huge narrative that he's created in theme. And I never saw that coming with him. He references, you know, faith in some of his music, but this was like really, really standing out to me, which is, yeah. I like that a lot.
I really got that from the track Loving Me with Phoebe Bridgers, because, mm-hmm. you know, in that song, he's talking about how he, you know, how he had to love himself before he could love God, and, you know, how he was just healed through becoming sober
mm-hmm. yeah.
from, you know, substances and stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I noted some impactful lyrics from kind of each of the songs that he had on the album. And for Tequila Shots, like, again, it wasn't like a super outstanding song to me, but he says, "Can't stop this war in me," like, frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And again, brings into light his battle with mental health and his demons that he battles. But he also highlights really well that it's an ongoing battle. Like, he hasn't simply overcome it and he's at a place where he's perfect. He's saying, like, I am still very much battling these demons and battling it every day.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm at a place where I can talk about it more healthy now than I had in the past. So yeah, On to Another Day. He specifically says in this song, "Thank God I saw another day." And I was, again, it's like mind-blowing to me because he had never brought God into the conversation like he did in this album. And it's beautiful to see as a listener, someone who's supported him even in his darkest times. Where I saw, like, 5 years ago, he was blocking people who were telling him to make Man on the Moon 3. He was literally, like, getting in fights on Twitter with people saying, like, I'm going to be me, and, like, if you don't support me, you were never a fan of me. And, yeah, he's still here, and there's probably a lot that we don't know about his personal life. He discloses a lot of it on some podcasts from the past, but not to the extent of what he hints at, is that he's probably had multiple times where he should not have been here anymore. And he pulled through.
Yeah, I mean, like, the stuff that he talked about on, was it the Joe Rogan podcast?
Yeah,
where he talks about, like, his routine, I guess, that he would have in the mornings where he would...
Yes.
Was it he would, like, wake up and drink and...
Yeah, he would just wake up, get hammered, get really, really high on multiple different substances, and then go about his day and basically just, like, coast on that dangerous, reckless roller coaster through the entire day. And mm-hmm. he did that for years at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's beautiful. Something else that I noted with that song is that in the last seconds, he pays ode to Mr. Rager.
Yeah.
And he does. Oh, that was... It was weird.
That.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, all the little references to Man on the Moon 2 and just the past in general. It was taking me way back. In general, like, this album made me very emotionally overwhelmed. Not in a sense of, like, it's so impactful and moving to me, but just in a sense of, like, bringing back that nostalgia and transporting mm-hmm. me back to a time and place where it was that impactful to me and had that kind of moving experience for me. So,
yeah.
He moves on to She Knows This, and
banger.
You know that Scott Pilgrim is, like, my favorite movie, Scott mm-hmm. Pilgrim versus the World, and that first little intro sample is from Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and I was, as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, this is gonna be a banger. And it was a good song. Something that I really liked about this whole album in general is his ability to display his flow and show how dynamic he is with his ability to rap as well as sing, harmonize, and hum mm-hmm. all throughout. Like, usually albums in the past he's done, like, one of those. This one, he mixed it all together. He did a great job.
Yeah, it's all the beat changes in it are fire. And, like, just listening to this song just made me sad, honestly, because of, like, the times that we're in and I can't hear this live.
Yeah, I totally agree. Something that I also picked up on the song was he said in the Complex article that we keep referencing that he was going to use more ad-libs. And, of course, he was going to, you know, make sure they were natural. but he's like never really been a big ad lib person, and he was doing them a lot on this song. I don't know, I don't remember exactly what he did to ad lib, but it was like very unique, and I thought he utilized them very well to like continue the flow of the song. And again, he did a perfect job with all the transitions and all the songs, because the beat switches are ridiculous. They go from extremely fast tempo to slow to fast again. So he does a great job of balancing all of that. To move on to track 5 with Dive, it's just a vibey song. That's literally what I wrote down. He says, ooh, ooh, that vibe on the song.
And, yeah. It's, I picture like was it like that meme of like the kid from Over the Hill, like on a bed just floating?
Oh, that's King of the Hill, yeah.
Or King of the Hill, yeah.
Bobby transcending.
Yeah.
I had that same feeling. He talked a lot about stress in that song as well. Thought that was very cool because he's just diversified his thought process and all of this. It's not like just all good or all perfect. It's very much so like still going through what he deals with on a daily basis. So I thought that was really cool. Damaged was a pretty cool song as well. Did you notice when he said, hanging all out of my whip, yeehaw? He says that in the song. And I was like reading
a thugger line.
It really was. It was very weird to hear, but he did a great job with the yeehaw. I'm proud. As a Texan, I feel like he's specifically talking to us right there, speaking our Texan language. And another line that I saw in that song that stood out to me was, here they trying to stop me, hate on my growth. Bro, it really do be your own. Every time you're trying to grow, every time you're trying to elevate yourself, become a better version of yourself, always going to be people trying to hold you back and cut you down. And thank you, Kid Cudi, for acknowledging that. In this song also wasn't like particularly stand out to me, but I thought he did a great job on the chorus with his singing. And in general, he can make a song that's very mediocre, still beautiful. So I really appreciate that.
Maybe he was like referring to like all of his haters from whenever Speed and Bullet to Heaven came out.
Probably.
I mean, he needed a trash album to come out in order for this to happen. So
I feel like every artist gets to a point in time where they're too big for themselves and they have to experiment. Like Lil Wayne did the same thing. He made a rock album. Kid Cudi made like a very much close to punk album with that album. It was really dark and still to this day kind of scares me listening to it. It's a very dark album, but yeah, it was necessary for him to grow as a person to make that. And again, in that song too, he references, I think it's in every single song he references God, but I wrote down every time that he did and he says, praise God, thank you, never left me on my own. He just seems like such a grateful person right now.
Yeah.
He's in such a clear headspace to say and acknowledge how much he has to be thankful for and how far he's come as a person. Incredible stuff. Track 7, Heaven on Earth. This is the one that Travis put on his Instagram story, and he always does. Yeah, he always does that. He puts it on mute, and I think he's trying to be a great guy shouting out, you know, music, but if you're not going to put the volume on, come on, man. But yeah. He says, demons zoning in the night, God, please watch over me. And I thought on this song in particular, there was extreme depth and layers to not only the vocals, but the production. And this is also one of those where he seamlessly switches flows and mixes in those beautiful hums, beautiful melodic singing. Another line from that one that stood out to me is, the devil is out and he's on to me, but the angel's protecting my soul. This man, he's a poet. Incredible stuff.
Really is.
Show Out was the one with Skepta and Pop Smoke. What was your take on the both of those features?
I loved it. I like Skepta. Like, I wouldn't say that I listen to his albums, but any feature that he's on, I know it's fire because that man has a really good flow. And I think with Pop Smoke, like, I don't know, their voices are both like super deep. And so, like, I don't know, it just sounds cool. And always good to hear Pop Smoke on any song. Rest in peace.
I agree. Something that, like, with, I think there was 4 features on here. All 4 of them were, like, extremely surprising to me. And especially the Skepta, Pop Smoke, and Trippy Red features, all 3 of those were very much, like, a little weird to me to, like, at first to see on there. And I expected them to all be trash because of that. But I think this was an actual Skepta song and Skepta beat. And Kid Cudi was demonstrating his ability to rap on whatever beat he was given. I think he did a great job of that. I also really like Skepta's part. And Pop Smoke, while his part was small and mainly for the chorus, like, it was really nice to see that on there and show that he can appeal, I guess, to the current generations that are listening to music right now. Because I think that may have been a part of why he included those three features, was to appeal to the younger generation. But I don't know. Nonetheless, they're very good. And I liked Kid Cudi's ability to flow over a beat that was very much not his style. And I'm also a fan of Skepta. I can't listen to his music on its own, but it's a cool sound.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think it's nice. It's like a breath of fresh air not to be suffocated by any typical feature that you would expect, whether it be like, I don't know, Young Thug, Future, Travis Scott.
I agree.
But I mean, because I mean, that's just a given with any rap album these days, is like you expect those people to be on there. But yeah, it was nice to see people you didn't expect.
I agree. And even with that too, like rapping still about God, he says, all that's evil that is in the way, I pray to God with open arms. Lord, are you hearing me call out? Am I lost? Pray for me. On a song with Pop Smoke and Skepta, that seems very out of place, but he did a great job of still weaving that narrative into that song when it sounded like near a British drill song. So very good stuff. On to number 9. Mr. Solo Dolo 3. This song is really personal for me. I don't know about you, but like with Mr. Solo Dolo, the original song on Man on the Moon 1, it was very much like, this is how I feel. Like I'm very, like not, I'm an introverted person, but with that song, it kind of tells that like you feel like even when you're around people, like you're still alone. And I don't know, that's literally always how I pictured myself, is just flying solo, like 24/7, because I just, alone is like the way I feel most of the time. I don't know, but it was a surprising follow-up to me to include that on here. I felt like that was really bold. And by doing so, you had pretty high standards to live up to. But he did a great job. I think he really surprised me with this one. And the singing and harmonizing were incredible on this song. He talks about, you know, keep on praying for me. Again, that's still a constant theme of, you know, paying ode to his faith and the journey that he's had with God. Beautiful stuff. And I wrote down specifically that this track alone on the album out of the first 9 is like the one that really welcomes the listener into his mind when he's talking about what he goes through on a daily basis with his mental health and like the demons that he's fighting still. And yeah, he did a great job with this one. Really proud of him. Proud of how far he's come and his ability to still talk about this, you know, as a 30 plus year old man. So it's great. Also, I noted that, I don't know if you heard in the beat, there's like a horse neighing in the background.
No.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I liked it a lot. It added dramatic effect to the song. And yeah, this song specifically for me, along with a couple of the others that I mentioned, were my favorites. Felt like I was listening to Kid Cudi 10 years ago in my room. The first time I listened to this album, I was in my room and I was like, how old am I again? Like, this literally feels like 10 years ago. It was crazy. Yeah. It reminded me of how much I loved his music at that time and how much it meant to me and the emotional impact that he had on me at that time. And I realized that he still has that impact on me as a listener, you know, 12 years after I discovered him, maybe 15 years after I discovered him.
That was probably his goal, I guess, with putting, you know, putting this track on the album, is just not only finding a way to connect the three, but just to take people back to the time.
I agree. I think in general with this album, he did a great job of highlighting the lows and making people feel those lows still, as well as highlighting the highs, because there's very happy songs on here too, but there's also very sad songs. So yeah, he did a great job with that. Track number 10 was Sad People. Same vibe as the previous song for me. It was very, very emotional song. Talks about God saved me, scars on my heart. And he says, I'm back in my zone. And whenever he says that, whenever I hear the word zone, I think of the song Cudi Zone from Man on the Moon 1. Wow. One of the best Kid Cudi songs. And yeah, again, this song reminded me of like, this is the Kid Cudi that we all fell in love with. And I don't want to say that he's back, but like, he did a great job of returning full circle with where he started on this.
He's a new man.
100%. What do you think about Elsie's baby boy?
I would have to say,
mom, I think.
No offense to his mom, but I feel like this is my least favorite track.
I also wrote that.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, maybe it could have been left out.
I agree. I think it was probably him wanting to make it personal because he talks a lot about his mom. He talks a lot about his childhood and a lot of his earlier music. And I think this kind of is just highlighting like who he was as a child. He talks about being really, really sad. He talks about his dad leaving. And while the lyrics were there for me, like I think the lyrics and the storytelling in the song were really good. But I don't think the sound of the song was great for the rest of the album. It kind of felt misplaced. Something I did look up because I felt like I had heard the sample at the beginning of the song. It's actually a quote. It's like dialogue from a movie called Stand By Me. And it's like an adventure movie inspired by a Stephen King novel. Thought that was pretty cool. It seems like he's very much still, I don't know how to describe it, but like still in that adventure mindset. He was very much into like cartoons and like Bill and Ted. And it was pretty cool to include that. I always like when artists in general include samples from movies or, you know, news clips or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is the one right here. September 16th. This is a beautiful song.
Yeah.
Literally, I could feel my chest like not tightening, but just emotion swelling. And it did bring a little bit of tears to my eyes with this one. He's talking specifically about missing someone in his life, that being a woman that he's lost. And the chorus is so beautiful. So beautiful. He says, search for your love wherever it be. Life goes by. And he does the, I'm not going to do the na-na-na thing because I just terrible at singing. But it's so beautiful. And he says, oh, I need your love. It's easily one of my favorites on the album, if not my absolute favorite. And I think it's a gem that perfectly encapsulates Kid Cudi for me, this song.
Well, yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's the hums at the end that close out the song. Yeah, I was listening. I remember the first time I listened to this, I was driving and this song came on and then the ending happened and it was like super dark. So it was just a perfect setting and just Kid Cudi's humming, just surrounding my car. It was beautiful.
It was beautiful. Track 13, The Void. Does this song remind you of any specific song that he's released in the past? Because to me, it sounded like an exact rip of one of his songs that he's released in the past.
It did sound familiar, but I couldn't put my finger on it.
All right. So one of my favorite songs that he's ever released was back in 2015, and it was only on SoundCloud, and it was titled Love. And this is like the exact same flow as that song. It's not the same beat quite, but it sounds almost identical.
Mm-hmm.
And that was weird to me, but I really like that song. And I think he did a great job with this song as well.
Yeah, this one I keep playing over and over again. Like I have my favorites highlighted and this one I just keep going back to. I don't know what it is. I guess the chorus is really catchy for me.
Yeah, I really like the lyrics in this one too. It says, when I'm just sitting in my room all alone, heaven ain't too far now. And he references a lot in the song, prayer, God, love. And then the outro, he specifically thanks God. And in the outro, this is where Mike Dean, my boy, he comes in and he kills it with the synthesizers as usual. But, you know, it's just like the synthesizers going and Kid Cudi kind of harmonizing in a talking manner, like talking, singing manner. And he's just talking about everything's going to be okay. And he's thanking the listeners for like still listening and being here. And I was like, yo, he talking to one of us. He's talking to me. And yeah, I like that song a lot. It was a little off-putting that it sounded very similar to that song from SoundCloud, but it's a catchy song, and that was probably why I like the original so much, as the flow is very unique. Track 14, Lovin' Me, featuring Phoebe Bridges, which I'm not entirely sure who that is. Have you heard of her before?
I have. She's been around for a couple of years. She's actually nominated for Best New Artist at the Grammys, and she's pretty good. I was really glad to see them collab on this album because I guess they have similar sounds. I guess Kid Cudi's like humming and just how they harmonize at the end of the song.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, her feature's really small, but I thought it was really good to add her in this song.
Yeah, I thought it was a great duet and they balanced each other out pretty well for the topic that was covered. It was a lot of talking about God, please Lord, hear me now. I hope you're listening. A lot of talk, as we said earlier, about growth and self-love. And self-love being a prerequisite for loving others. And also he talked about hell being inside of him in this song. I thought while it was a very happy song and it was uplifting, he also does a great job of contrasting with always just keeping the listener aware of how this is still an ongoing battle and he has the capability for, I guess, evil or bad inside of him still.
Mm-hmm.
Again, probably was not one of my favorite songs just because it's not my type of vibe and the replay value isn't there for me, but I did appreciate it from an artistical standpoint. I thought he did a great job, and it's one of those songs that really demonstrates his dynamic ability and his fluidity with sound, being able to hop on any type of song and succeed. The Pale Moonlight is the next one. This was also not one of my favorite songs. Not sure about you.
Nah, I agree.
I just felt like the replay value wasn't there for me. But I think with all the songs, like, while the replay value isn't there, most songs that are on albums that don't have that replay value, they just suck, like, in all aspects.
Yeah.
But I think even in the ones that, like, aren't the most replayable on here, he does a great job lyrics-wise, and he continues that theme that he's continued throughout the whole album of talking about just healing and dealing with things that never stop. But I can still take a step back and admire the song.
Yeah.
What did you think about Rockstar Nights with Trippie Redd?
I loved it, which is odd for me because I'm not the biggest Trippie Redd fan, but I do feel like Trippie Redd is a product of Kid Cudi just because the way they like with their vocals, how they have the same vocal expression, I guess. I don't want to try and display that for the listeners because you might lose a couple, but I don't know, just it's the sound that that Trippie Redd is known for in his songs is similar to what Kid Cudi does. So I thought that the feature was really good.
Yeah, I wrote a lot about the song. I'm not of the entire belief in agreement with you that it was like all great. For me, it was like Trippie Redd's rapping verse, like at the beginning, kind of sucked for me. And then once he started doing the little singing thing like you were talking about with his vocal expression, that's where I feel like the song should have either started or they should have just had him do that the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I mean, for me, the first half of the song was like kind of unnecessary almost, like all of Trippie Redd's part. And the second part of the song, when there's like that beat and tempo change, that's where I felt like I would just like that part of the song with Trippie Redd mixed into that instead of the first part. But
yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, again, it's one of those songs where I was like taken back by it as soon as I saw it on the track list because of the feature. But I think he did a great job of probably appealing to the younger crowd as well as demonstrating his ability to weave through these like barriers that the hip hop industry has implanted within most songs. Great job. I also think the synths in there from Mike Dean, they're incredible. I feel like he just elevates music on another level. Like,
oh yeah, anything Mike Dean touches turns to gold automatically.
But again, the part after the beat switch where Kid Cudi's like singing / harmonizing and the synths are going, I was like the Bobby from King of the Hill transcending. It was wild. All right, what'd you think about track 17, For the Kids?
For the Kids, it's a great song, one of my favorites, but not like up there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still really good.
Yeah, I agree. Wasn't one of my absolute favorites, but I liked that he basically said in the song who he's doing it for. He highlights, this is basically for all you lonely kids out there, which specifically talking to me sitting in my room as a 12-year-old kid, blasting Kid Cudi sad. He did it for us. And he makes another Solo Dolo reference in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is, again, highlighting what all drew us to him in the first place is his ability to connect with us on a human level. Instead of being like celebrity, he's very much demonstrating through all of his music, as he's always done, that he's an imperfect human being that struggles. And I think that's beautiful. Track 18. What'd you think about Lord I Know?
I love this song too. It's so good. And then the ending with Veda saying to be continued, I thought that was cute that he added her in there.
That was so beautiful. This song is the perfect way to end the album for me.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. It comes full circle with who he is now as a person and his ability to just, I don't even know how to describe his sound, like his ability to create melodic, harmonizing vocals that aren't even like, it's almost like his voice is another instrument within the song.
Yeah.
And he does a great job of doing that on this song. I really like the chorus. He says, start the show, blessings in my life. Lord, I know you can make it right. He says, baby, I'm a warrior. We know you are, Kid Cudi. We know you are, Scott. Thank you. And that outro, Mike Dean killed it. Did a great job. I think the production in general was really great. He did a great job of including all the people that got him here, who monopolized his sound while also including new people to enhance his sound and bring it up to speed. I thought that was cool that he included people like Wanda Girl and Phineas, Billie Eilish's brother. I thought that was really cool.
I didn't know that he was on this project, but yeah, he's been one of my favorite producers to come out.
Yeah, he's always kind of one of those guys that lives in the shadows behind the scene and doesn't get the credit he deserves. And I think that's really upsetting, specifically because he is the only reason or main reason why Billie Eilish is who Billie Eilish is right now. And he does a great job of being able to cultivate sound and kind of distance himself from being Billie Eilish's brother by showing that he's able to produce at this high level. I think he only produced one of the songs, but still, to make it on a Kid Cudi project is pretty crazy. Yeah. So yeah, in all, I think this is one of my favorite albums that's come out this decade. It's my favorite album that's come out this year. I don't even want to listen to anything else at this point in time. I just keep listening to this album. And it's beautiful to see how far Kid Cudi's come as a person. I think he perfectly encapsulates growth in a human being and jams and this podcast. Mm-hmm. He does a great job of fitting and checking off all those boxes for us. And it's great to see how far he's come. You know, he's a great dad to his daughter. He's an incredible artist. Talks a lot about his struggles, his human struggles. And I think we can all just admire his candor and his ability to, you know, talk about that with all of us, share that with the world, despite being ostracized from the hip hop community, torn down by other rappers, projects that are, you know, questionable and their replayability and whether they tarnished his career. I just have so much respect for the guy as a person, as an artist. And I'm so happy that I could actually sit down and talk about an album like this, because I mean, I don't know, there's not very many albums you can sit down and go through and say that they have an impact on you like Kid Cudi does.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just so happy for him just to see his positivity really shine through, especially on like Twitter, like whenever he was replying to people that were listening to the album or like friends of his that were listening. Like, he's such a positive dude now compared to like you were saying, how he was back then when he was in a dark place. And yeah, I just thought the album just really captured how he is now and where he's going in the future.
Yeah, I'm excited. I feel like he's ready. Like, he's so ready to come back to music, and he took a lot of time off, and I think it was probably necessary. He was doing other things in that time, Bill and Ted, which was probably huge for him to be a part of that movie. Westworld. I think it's cool that he's getting into acting and stuff like that too now, but just, I think he's back for music, and I'm really excited to see what he puts out in the future. I think there's a lot of up in the air collab albums that he's talked about wanting to do with other artists that I think would be really, really, really important. One of those being the one with Travis Scott.
Yeah. The Scott's at?
Yeah. I don't know. I imagine it's Travis's fault. That man is a staller. But he talked about, I think 2 years ago, wanting to do a collab album with Jaden Smith. That would be really cool. I think both of them together would make a very unique album.
I mean, that's another father figure to him. So
yeah, but yeah, I think Kid Cudi is going to do a lot of great things in the future with music. If he does come back with Man on the Moon 4, I'll bump it, I'll listen to it, I'll review it again as emotionally and deeply as I am now. It will transport me back to still being a sad kid. I think we're all still a little bit of sad kids in our present time.
Yes.
But yeah, I think the main theme with this episode is just to give a thank you to Kid Cudi, all he's done for the music industry, all he's done for artists around him, all he's done for us listeners, because I'm sure he's saved countless lives with his music, gotten people through extremely difficult times. And that's hard to say when you're in the rap industry. I don't think a lot of rappers take that route or care about all that, but he did. And with him, there would be zero Travis Scott. So I'm very thankful for that.
Yes.
Because without Travis Scott looking up to Kid Cudi, I don't think he would have became the artist that he did. And I don't think maybe he would have even gotten into rapping in the first place.
He wouldn't have dropped out of UTSA.
What a guy. Could have been Roadrunners for life.
No.
On a separate note, to kind of end things with a separate but kind of similar conversation, Travis Scott was in Mexico. He's in Mexico, yes, with Hit-Boy, Wonder Girl, Weezy, Future. I am so hyped.
It's coming. It's coming. Who knows when, but it's coming.
My very early bold prediction is that we're going to get a new album, Utopia, in April or May. And I think he's working hard. I think he is crafting beautiful music out there in Mexico. And I think one of these days, there's going to be a tweet that says Mike Dean is inbound. And that's when I know that this album about to be finished. So I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, he's been rocking the new braids more recently. He's just ready for Utopia to come. But I think he's also waiting for, not for the virus to be over, because who knows when it'll be completely over. But like, I just think he wants his fans to have a better experience than we would get right now.
I fully agree with that sentiment. I think he's banking on promoting all of 2021, the first half of that, releasing, and then gearing up to perform it at hopefully Astroworld next November and starting the tour. That's either mid tour or tour starting and catapulting from there for the album. But boy, I'm ready for some new Travis Scott music. I need a new sound. I need him to elevate. I need it.
I need Stormy to hop on a track.
Honestly, I need it. I need her to lay some bars down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they would mix her vocals better than they did Nav's on Yosemite.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for coming on the show, Monica. Thank you for talking about Kid Cudi music with me. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Hopefully I can continue to have you on for future music reviews. Hopefully y'all followed us and you liked our commentary and it wasn't boring. But if you made it this far, thank you.
Well, thank you for having me on again. Love talking music with you always. Something we do every week. And yeah, hopefully I can be on in the future.
Of course. All right. Thank y'all. See y'all next time. Thank you for listening to another successful episode of the Growth and Jams podcast. We are brought to you by 1718 Media. If you feel so obliged, please feel free to leave us a rating on whatever podcast app you are listening to. Also, feel free to check us out on social media at Growth and Jams. I look forward to releasing more episodes, and thank you again for listening.